that's a good art.
Frances Hodgkins creating space at is Gow Langsford's latest exhibition at its Auckland City Gallery. Frances Hodgkins is regarded as one of New Zealand's most renowned pioneering artists and a defining figure of early modernism who took New Zealand art to the world. Not only was she highly respected in Aotearoa, but she also developed an excellent reputation internationally, namely in the UK, France and Australia, particularly for her skill with watercolour and gouache. Although highly influential during her lifetime, Hodgkins' stature has only grown since her death in 1947. I caught up with director of Gow Langsford, John Gow, about the exhibition, Frances Hodgkins Creating Space, and about her life and practice more generally.
Frances Hodgkins is one of the most important artists that we've produced in New Zealand. She sits up there with Colin McCann, Rita Angus, and the likes. She was born in Dunedin in 1869 and died in England in 1947. She left New Zealand around 1900 to travel overseas to the UK and through Europe. Came back in 1905, left again via Australia, where she had an exhibition. I think that was 1908. And then never came back to New Zealand again. She established herself in the UK as one of the British modern artists. She was in the 7 and 5 group with artists like Ben Nicholson, Barbara Hepworth, Cedric Morris. She was at the forefront of the contemporary practice of her time in the UK. She pushed her boundaries continually through her life. She didn't rest on her laurels of, you know, when she found something and it sold, she would move on to something tougher. And, you know, probably gouache was her favourite medium, which is a combination of sort of watercolour and chalk, of which, you know, there's several in the exhibition at Gow Langsford Gallery. She was an incredible artist.
As you say, not only was Frances Hodgkins highly respected in Aotearoa, but she lived and travelled frequently around Europe and gained international credit and respect as well. What is the ongoing legacy of her work, do you think?
Oh, look, I think the ongoing legacy is the fact that, you know, a few years ago I walked into the Tate Britain and there hanging on the feature wall was a Frances Hodgkins called Wings Over Water and Oil, which is an amazing painting. You know, so she's continuing to be an ambassador for New Zealand overseas. She has vast collections of her work in places like the Dunedin Art Gallery, Te Papa, Auckland Art Gallery. You know, they all have very big holdings. Because of her changes of style throughout her life, it's kind of important for these institutions to have multiple works so that you can see the progression of her career.
And tell me a bit about your personal relationship with the work of Hodgkins. When did you first come across her work and what struck you about it?
Well, I've been in the art business for 42 years and she was a foundation of us being able to be in the business by the fact that we would be selling her works at reasonably high prices, you know, throughout my whole career. So, you know, back in the 80s, you might pay for a major Frances Hodgkins, you know, $25,000. Today, you know, there's a major oil in the exhibition, which is $680,000. So that shows you where the appreciation of her work has gone, and appreciation both in price and in people collecting them.
Totally. And tell me a bit more about this exhibition, Creating Space. Are the works from a particular era of Hodgkins's practice, or is the exhibition presenting a specific theme in her practice?
Look, it's very hard to put together a group of Frances Hodgkins full stop. So the unique thing about this exhibition is the fact that we've got something like 16 works together the public can come and view. Out of those 16, I think 12 or 13 are for sale. Some works we've borrowed back from, you know, some private collectors. The exhibition is weighted towards her later works, which, you know, I think are really important. So there's three paintings that would have been done when she was in Cerne Abbas, which is in Wales, in 1943. Beautiful painting called The Farm Pond. Another one called Cerne Abbas. They're just amazing works. And what you've got to do when you come and look at these works is really look at them. Her mark making is extraordinary. I can remember years ago standing in front of one of her gouaches with the contemporary artist John Reynolds, and he was just marvelling at, you know, the marks she was making with her brush or fingers or the end of the brush. You know, back in the 1930s, 1940s, marks which he said he was basically making today as a contemporary artist. So it's really important to really look at these works and drill down into them with your eyes.
Totally. And as you say, it is definitely a bit of a challenge to pull together a cohesive body of work for a historical solo exhibition. Can you tell me a bit about the process of creating this exhibition and where these works have been sourced from? You kind of touched on it a little bit there, but could you tell me a bit more about that?
We've spent over 2 years putting this show together. We've been working quite closely with two Francis Hodgkins experts, one Jonathan Goodrum, who's now a retired art dealer, but his passion is Francis Hodgkins, and Mary Kisler, who I would describe as being, you know, the expert on Francis Hodgkins. You know, she put together an amazing show at the Auckland Art Gallery 3 or 4 years ago and has written books on Hodgkins. And so we've been working closely with those two people, which has helped to be able to source the works for the show. They've come, you know, from private collections here and abroad. So, you know, putting it together and getting all the works in one place, has literally taken 2 years. It was slightly frustrating that a couple of really key works only popped up about 3 weeks ago when someone heard about the show.
Oh, wow.
And called me in, but, you know, a beautiful work called The Japanese Lantern, which was painted, I think, 1909. It's larger watercolour as she ever painted. And, you know, when you come and see it, it's just the most stunning, stunning work. And then another work called The Almond Blossom, or The Almond Tree, which is, you know, when you turn it over and look at the back of this painting, it's just got so many labels from so many museum shows over the years. It's incredible.
Yeah, you've kind of signalled at it there, but the works in this exhibition span a variety of subjects within Hodgkins's practice, portraiture, landscape and still life, for instance.
Yeah.
What can be said about these distinct genres within her overall practice?
Oh, look, she never really stuck to one subject, if you like. She was painting what touched her. The genre which, you know, she really made her own was a series of works which began in the early 1930s called The Still Life in the Landscape. So she would take, a vase of flowers, a milk jug, other objects like this, put them on a table in the landscape. So instead of painting a still life in a traditional manner on a table inside, she'd take it outside. So the major oil in the show is an amazing example of this, and that, you know, it's a still life in the courtyard of a place called The Pound, which was owned by Cedric Morris and Lett Haynes, two of her close friends and colleagues, both artists. The Pound was a place of great sort of artistic, it was a great artistic hub where artists would come and meet, paint. The art was being taught there. So, you know, the still life in the landscape is her kind of key discovery, if you like. But, you know, the other works, you know, the figurative work she painted when she was in New Zealand in the late 1890s, amazing portraits of Maori subjects around the Dunedin region. She's, you know, she painted some portraits of Moffat Lindau, who was a great patron of hers. And then, you know, she also loved the light in Ibiza. So there's these amazing Ibiza landscapes, which, you know, are quite beautiful paintings. And then, of course, during the war, if you were caught painting plein air or outside, you know, you were basically put in jail because you could be a spy recording the landscape, you know, for the Germans. So all your paintings had to be from the inside looking out. And so there are these paintings of farmyard relics, the farm pond, those sorts of imagery, which when she would visit somewhere, she'd be looking out and capturing what she could see out of the window of wherever she was staying. Look, as much as the show's, you know, for sale and it's a commercial venture, it's a fantastic show just to come and see. So, you know, please pop in and have a look. There's a very beautiful catalogue which we have put together of most of the works in the show, not the last two that came in. And it's a unique opportunity to see a lot of her works in one place. So pop in and have a look and tell your friends.
That was director of Gow Langsford Gallery, John Gow, speaking to me about their latest exhibition, Francis Hodgkin's Creating Space. The exhibition is on now at Gow Langsford City Gallery until the 25th of June. There is also an accompanying catalogue about Hodgkin's and the exhibition, with writing by John Gow and art historian Mary Kissler, available for purchase.